Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part three in a seven-part series, Lenten series, entitled The Case for Christ, and it is specifically entitled Gift of Faith, based off of Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, and Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and verses 13 through 17. So let us dive into the Word today. First, Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him,
"Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great."
But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him,
"No. Your servants will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir."
Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him,
"Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have."
And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. And then Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and verses 13 through 17. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based on, not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid the law, the only way to avoid breaking the law, is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it. Whether or not we are living according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Amen. Human beings are creatures of faith. There isn't a single human being that can claim they have no faith. Therefore, the question is not whether we have faith, but where we put our faith. Still, grace is a gift from God that, if we open ourselves to God's grace and place our faith wisely, it leads us into the kingdom of heaven. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is defined as such. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. As human beings, we may hope for any variety of things: peace, love, security, belonging, companionship, friendship, etc. And faith shows us that those things are real and that we can attain them even though we cannot currently see or experience them. This need not be a religious matter, either. A good example is Louis Pasteur, who believed in the existence of bacteria and hoped to find a way to remove it from our drinks, from our bloodstream, and from all aspects of life. With all the talk of coronavirus going on, we wouldn't even be talking about coronavirus if it weren't for the faith of Louis Pasteur. His faith in what he could not see led him to develop the pasteurization process, vaccinations, and other such methods, such as washing your hands and other things, once we realized that bacteria were, in fact, real. In our reading of Genesis today, Abram is in discussion with God. He left his home in Haran because he believed God was calling him and his family to leave. That's kind of crazy when you think about it. Like, this God you can't see, this God you can't feel, you can't touch, this God that is nothing more than an inner voice talking to you, telling you to go, to leave, to uproot, to take your whole family with you and go wandering through the wilderness until God brings you to wherever God's supposedly going to bring you. Like, which one of us would have done that? But yet, Abram believed, and he was told that God would make his descendants as numerous as the stars, and that one day all the nations of the world would be blessed by his offspring. There's just one problem with this, though. Abram was 75 years old, and he and his wife were unable to have children. How could he and his wife ever possibly have children, let alone descendants? And this worried Abram, just like it would worry the rest of us. Yet God promised that Abram would have a child of his own. And Scripture tells us something else directly after that promise. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Why was Abram counted righteous? Because of his faith. The Apostle Paul reminds us that it was because of Abram's faith and nothing else that God considered him righteous. He didn't earn it or merit it or buy it. His righteousness was given to him because Abraham believed in God, in the one who could bring the dead back to life and create new things out of nothing. God's promise of salvation and the coming kingdom is received through faith as a free gift. Faith is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, how have you been called to step out in faith as Abraham did? In what ways does that scare you? How have you responded, if you've responded at all? And if you haven't responded, how do you plan to? Let us listen now to one of the families in my church as they share their journey of faith with us.
I can't say a specific way. I just think in general, when I have had difficult decisions to make, when maybe doing the right thing has been more challenging, it's been helpful knowing that whatever the outcome is, that everything will be fine. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
It doesn't really scare me as much as it challenges me. I think it more or less challenges me to, you know, have greater faith, you know, be a better person, test, you know, your limits.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say it does. I think sometimes when you're given, you know, something that is challenging to do, but, you know, is the right thing to do, I think it can be kind of scary at first, but like after you feel that fear or anxiety about it, it's like nice to like stop your brain, I think, from kind of spinning out and remember like, no, everything's gonna be fine. And so I don't know. I think it can be a little bit scary initially, but I think faith allows you to tone all those kind of negative emotions down and to kind of refocus yourself on the task at hand.
Sure. The church is, specifically this church, has been great as a support system. You know, so you know, you go through your daily stresses of the week, and you know, everyone's here to kind of help you through the difficult times. Mm-hmm. So it's powerful. And, we like the positive atmosphere.
So I think the same way that you know that that you know you can kind of handle it. It's good to be in like the church community, knowing that everybody is kind of there to support you as well, kind of has your back and you have their back, and it does make it easier.
And what do you like about the church, James?
Sunday school.
You like Sunday school. My goodness, can you come over here and say, I like Sunday school?
I like Sunday school.
You like Sunday school? And how about you, Alma? What do you like about church? You like Sunday school? How about, do you like something else? What do you like? Do you like drumming? Do you like your shaker? Can you say, I like drumming and shaking? You like shaking?
Your shakers.
You like, do you like music? Can you say, I like music? Do you like to dance? Can you say, I like to dance? Awesome.
Like that family, we are all called by Christ to put our faith in Christ and to step out in faith for Him. Again, it's not that we don't already have faith. It's about what or who we put our faith in. I would like to invite you to close your eyes for a moment and reflect on these questions. If you're driving or something like that, leave your eyes open, obviously. But if you're sitting in a comfortable place and it's safe to do so, close your eyes and reflect on these questions. Who or what do you put your faith in? Do you put it in Jesus Christ? How are you being called to step out in faith? How can your church and your spiritual disciplines help you in your faith response? I challenge you to reflect on these questions and to begin to open yourselves up to the gift of faith. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are just so thankful for this challenging message to place our faith in you, for you are, Lord, you are our God. And you have given each and every one of us the gift of faith. It is how we operate as human beings. Every one of us has it. The question is, who do we put our faith in? Lord, help us to grow closer to you. Help us to develop deeper spiritual disciplines and practices so that we may come to know you and to grow in a closer and deeper and more intimate relationship with you, so that we may take the gift of faith that has been given us and place it in you. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, I'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. Again, this is part 3 of a 3-part Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ. And today's specific message was the gift of faith. I would like to invite you to check out the episode notes. There are things for you to check out there, including the video from which you listen to the audio from with this family. Definitely want to check it out. The kids are just cute as anything. And it's a real family, man. Real family, and just a wonderful moment of them sharing with us about their faith journey. I hope you will enjoy it. And in the meantime, I just want to remind you that you are richly blessed. So be a blessing to others. Go in peace.